بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا، مرحبا بكم. Welcome to the lives of the wives of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, our mothers أمهات المؤمنين رضي الله عنهن. We want to continue now with Juwayriyah bint al-Harith رضي الله عنها. Our mother Juwayriyah, her lineage, she is Juwayriyah bint al-Harith ibn Abi Darara al-Khuza'iyya thumma al-Mustaraqiyya. She is Juwayriyah, the daughter of al-Harith, the son of Darara, from the tribe of al-Khuza', then later on would become from the tribe of al-Mustaraq. Juwayriyah رضي الله عنها, she traces her ancestry to the tribe of al-Khuza'. Al-Khuza' was a tribe which lived in the area of the Hijaz, and actually it was this tribe that Ismail, the son of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, married into and brought this relationship between Ibrahim and the Arabs. Later on, her family merged into the tribe of Al-Mustaraq, and it is the tribe of Al-Mustaraq, if you remember from the story of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, it was this tribe which Aisha radiallahu anha, coming back from the experiences with this tribe, which she experienced the hadith al-ifk, the fabrication which was concocted about her from the hypocrites of Medina. Juwayriyah radiallahu anha, she was a princess. Her father al-Harith, he was the chief of this tribe al-Mustaraq. Thus, subhanAllah, she lived a pretty austere life. Her appearance, Imam al-Dhahabi says about her, وَكَانَتْ مِنْ أَجْمَلِ النِّسَاءِ, that Juwayriyah radiallahu anha was from the most beautiful of women. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, in describing our mother Juwayriyah, she says, كانت Juwayriyah امرأة حلوة ملاحة, that our mother Juwayriyah radiallahu anha, Aisha says, she was very beautiful and she had a very, very sweet sense about her. Her first marriage, our mother Juwayriyah, prior to marrying the beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she was married to a man named Musafi'. Her father and her husband were staunch enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And her marriage to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is very extraordinary. And it had, alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, a very extraordinary impact upon the society of Arabia. Her father, some ulama said that he had a plan to attack Medina because of his fear of the growth of the Muslims in Medina and the Islamic State. Yet others say that due to the instigation of the Quraysh, Al-Harith radiallahu anhu, and notice that I said Al-Harith radiallahu anhu, this enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, due to the instigation of the Quraysh and promises of the Quraysh, he decided to attack Medina. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was informed of the plan of Al-Harith to attack Medina, and what do you think he did? Do you think, subhanAllah, immediately he got his army together and he went attacked Al-Harith? No. SubhanAllah, this is not the quality of the Muslim. We can take an important lesson here from the character of our Prophet, that he sent Barida bin Hasib radiallahu anhu to spy on Al-Harith and to see if in fact this was the truth. What's a lesson we can take? You know, nowadays you go to the masjid and someone comes to you and says, man, she was talking about your hijab, girl. Or some guy comes to you and says, man, that brother don't like you, this, that, whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop-de-whoo. And what do? We immediately fall into some reaction. SubhanAllah, here we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The issue at hand is that Medina will be attacked, and still he's verifying the information to make sure it's true. So he sent Barid ibn Hasib radiallahu anhu, and Barida, he found out in fact it was true. Al-Harith was planning to attack the young fledgling Islamic state in Medina. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it came to defending Islam, and when it came to defending the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there can be no delay. There can be no waiting. Immediately the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gathered his army together, and they went to meet Al-Harith radiallahu anhu and his army. What's another lesson we can take quickly is, recently I was reading an article in Time magazine, should Christians convert Muslims? SubhanAllah, why don't they say, can Christians convert Muslims? You know, we should be responding to these articles. We should be writing editorials. We should be writing letters. But what are we going to say? I'll do it later on. I'll do it later on. SubhanAllah, look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Immediately, he rushes to defend the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On campuses, you have to immediately defend the intellectual attack on the Muslims by writing, by conducting seminars, by having lectures, by your character, and so on and so forth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gathered his army together and they went to meet the people of Al-Mustadaq to engage them in a battle before they could destroy or try to destroy Al-Madinah. This was in the fifth year after the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his armies were traveling through the desert and Al-Harith, he had amassed his armies. And suddenly they were apprised that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was planning an offensive attack. Immediately, subhanAllah, the armies of Al-Harith radiyallahu anhu, they left him. And the armies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were approaching. Al-Harith radiyallahu anhu, he sought refuge with the people of his own tribe, Al-Mustaraq. And as the Prophet's army got closer and closer, these people decided to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his army anyways. Thus they started to shoot arrows at the armies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the armies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, there's no waiting. They suddenly attacked the people of Al-Mustaraq and the armies that were left of Al-Harith. And alhamdulillah, bifadlillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was a manifest great victory for the Muslims. In fact, 2,000 camels were taken and 5,000 goats and nearly 600 people were taken as prisoners of war. One of those prisoners of war was a woman named Barra bint al-Harith. Barra bint al-Harith, radiyallahu anha. Barra bint al-Harith, she was a princess, the daughter of al-Harith. And after she was taken captive, she came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, ana Barra bint al-Harith. O Messenger of Allah, I am Barra, the daughter of Al-Harith. I am a princess and a Sayyidah. I am a master of my people. How can I be held as a captive or a prisoner of war? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was very, very little he could do in this situation. Barra bint Al-Harith was taken captive by one of the Sahaba. And in order for her to obtain her freedom, he set a large ransom for her, which she was unable to pay because there was a war going on. So the only person she can come to now is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Prophet alayhi salatu salam in the Quran, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's been sent as a mercy to everything that exists. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned to her and he said, I have a better idea than her taken alone from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or something like this. And she said, what is it? He says, I can pay your freedom and let you go, or I marry you, and alhamdulillah, you become my wife. SubhanAllah, Barra bint al-Harith, she married the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when she married him, he changed her name from Barra to Juwayriya radiyallahu anha. Maybe somebody asked, well, wasn't she already married? Her first husband, Musafi', he was killed in this battle of Mustadaq. Thus, she had no husband. She had no one. Other scholars say that Al-Harith, her father, he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave him da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complain about his daughter and other things. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took care of the family of Al-Harith, and then he gave him da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Al-Harith accepted Islam. And if you look at the biographies of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find Al-Harith radiyallahu anhu. The scholars say that after Harith accepted Islam, he implored the Prophet ﷺ to marry his daughter Juwayriya, and Rasulullah ﷺ, he did so. Wallahu a'lam. The marriage of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ took place with Juwayriya, and as she says, The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he married me wa ana bint 20 sana, and I was 20 years old. Subhanallah, a wonderful blessing took place through this marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Juwayriyah. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he married Juwayriyah, that meant that those prisoners of war who were the prisoners of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were now his relatives. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by marrying this princess of the tribe of Al-Mustalaq, now the entire tribe of Al-Mustalaq became the relatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what happened? The companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they begin to look at each other. And they begin to say, man, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is under us as prisoners of war? No way. And subhanallah, on that same day, all 600 prisoners of war were freed. Subhanallah. As Allah said about the Prophet, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, we have sent you only as a mercy to everything that exists. Our mother Aisha, radiallahu anha, she commented about the marriage of our mother Juwayriyah, radiallahu anha, by saying, فَمَا أَعْلَمُ إِمْرَأَةً أَعْظَمَ بَرَكَةٍ مِنْهَا عَلَى قَوْمِهَا. She says, I know of no woman who was more of a blessing to her people than Juwayriyah, radiallahu anha, that when she married the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through her marriage to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, her entire nation was freed as prisoners of war. Her learning and her character. Our mother Juwayriyah radiallahu anha, she narrated, according to the scholars, 7 ahadith. 1 in the book of Al-Bukhari and 2 in the book of Muslim, and the others are found in different books of the Muhaddithin. One of the pearls that we were given by our mother Juwayriyah is a hadith which shows one of the qualities that she possessed as a woman was that she was an abida. She was a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many times we may ask ourselves, what is the first role of the woman in Islam? And immediately our brothers will say, her first role is to be my servant. Or her first role is to be my second mother. Or her first role is to be this. Her first role is to be a mother. This is incorrect. Actually, the first role of the Muslim woman is to be the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And under this slavery comes being good to her husband, her children, and so on and so forth. Subhanallah, never brothers, when we ask what is the first role of brothers, you never find a brother, he will say, the first role of a brother is to be a good husband to his wife. Immediately he will say, the first role of a brother is to be the servant of Allah. The same, subhanallah, it applies to our sisters. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He did not create the jinn and the human beings except to worship Him. Look at this beautiful hadith of our mother Juwayriyah radiallahu anha. Ibn Abbas, he says that Juwayriyah radiallahu anha says that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left their home and it was the time of the early morning. And when he left her, she was sitting and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, this time between Fajr and the sunrise is a blessed time to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was the habit of the Salaf to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these times. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh, he used to go to the outskirts of Damascus, and there he would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every morning. And one day the people asked him, why? Why are you doing this? He said, alhamdulillah, when I do this, I had my breakfast and my lunch. The breakfast and the lunch for the soul. So here, subhanAllah, our mother Juwayriyah radiallahu anha, as Allah said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkuru allaha dhikran kathira. O you who believe, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with an abundant remembrance. Here we see our mother Juwayriyah radiallahu anha remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, sister, when was the last time you sat between the Fajr and the duha and remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When was the last time, brother, you sat and you cleaned your heart remembering the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Each time you're saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and every time you're saying this, some of the rust and the sin is being taken from your heart and replaced with the light of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Juwayriya radiallahu anha, she was remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left. And he came back later on in the day around the time of Dhuhr. And still he found our mother radiallahu anha, she was remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked her, have you been here doing this whole time since I left? And she said, yes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is going to teach us and teach her an important principle. And this is the principle of moderation. The principle of moderation in Islam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran,
وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have made you a balanced, moderate ummah. And moderation and balance means upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he inquired from her, have you been doing this whole time since I left? And she responded, yes, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to her sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I have said 4 words, 3 times, which if they were to be weighed with all of the words that you have said this morning, the words I have said would be heavier. And subhanAllah, what are these words? I want everyone to memorize these inshaAllah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, warida nafsihi, wazinata arshihi, wa midada kalimati. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, warida nafsihi, wazinata arshihi, wa midada kalimati. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, wa ridha nafsihi, wa zinata arshihi, wa midada kalimati. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, glorified be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to Him is the praise, according to the number of His creation, and the pleasure and His pleasure, and the weight of His arsh, and the number of His words. SubhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brothers, he took time to teach his wife. And as we mentioned before, this is a reoccurring theme, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not shy to instruct people in the truth. He's not shy to teach his wife. And he's teaching us the important principle of moderation. Yes, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sit and remember Allah for some time. And after that, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. After that, go and work. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, don't forget your nasib in this dunya. Go and make effort outside as well. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and go and face the challenge of life. So here he's teaching his wife, radiallahu anha, yes, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for some time, but at the same time, be busy in your daily activities. Don't let this keep you from practicing your normal daily routine. Other examples of the great worship of our mother, Juwayriya radiallahu anha, can be found in the hadith where she was fasting, subhanAllah, and it was on a Friday. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came to her and said, are you fasting? And she said, yes. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, did you fast yesterday? She said, no. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he said, are you planning on fasting tomorrow? She said, no. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, fa'aftiri, then break your fast. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told her this because we know as Muslims that if anyone wants to fast on the day of Jum'ah, they should fast either a day before it or a day after it. And we took, subhanAllah, that hukum from this hadith of Juwayriya radiallahu anha, along with other hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another great quality of our mother Juwayriya was her generosity. In fact, one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to the home of Juwayriyah radiallahu anha, and he asked her, "Hal min ta'amin?" Is there anything of food that you have? And she responded to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying, "I only had a small portion of meat, but I gave it away as sadaqah to one of the servants in Medina." SubhanAllah, her generosity. Even she doesn't have, but she's still given. She's still given in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were a number of people who narrated from her in the sciences of hadith. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, Mujahid, Abu Ayyub Yahya ibn Malik al-Azdi, and other great scholars from the companions and their students. The death of our mother Juwayriyah radiallahu anha happened 56 years after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina at the age of 65 years, during the reign of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Marwan ibn Hakam, the administrator of Medina, led the funeral prayers on our mother. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless her, to forgive her, to raise her rank in the paradise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us be the followers of her glorious example. Fajazakum Allahu khayran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Awakening Media presents Mothers of the Believers, Lives of the Wives of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Imam Suhaib Webb.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Ahlan wa sahlan, welcome to Ummahatu Mu'mineen, the lives of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our mothers. We continue now with our mother Habiba bint Abi Sufyan radiallahu anha. Ibn Kathir, in his famous book of history Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, he describes our mother Habiba by saying that she was min sayyidati ummahat al-mu'minin wa min al-abidat. Ibn Kathir says that she was from the masters, from the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning the best from the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that she was from those women who used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. Her father and mother are two very important figures in Islamic history. In fact, the lineage of our mother Habiba radiallahu anha is the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of all of his wives. Her father Abu Sufyan, who was the great enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who later accepted Islam on the day of Fath, the father of Muawiyah. Her father Abu Sufyan died around 33 years after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her mother Safiya bint Abdul As was the sister of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. Her features, subhanAllah, the ulama of history, they described our mother Safiya as being very beautiful. In fact, if we go to the Sahih of Imam Muslim, we find the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Sufyan, the father of Habiba, are engaged in a discussion. And Abu Sufyan, he says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Andi ahsanul arabi wa ajmaluhu Habiba bint Abi Sufyan." Abu Sufyan, he said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "In my home is the most beautiful and excellent of the Arabs, and that is Habiba radiallahu anha." And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded by saying, "Naam, yes, indeed you are correct." Her birth, our mother Habiba, was born 17 years prior to the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her first marriage was to Abdullah bin Jahsh, who was a companion of Harb ibn Umayyah, and she embraced Islam along with her husband, and she migrated eventually with her first husband to the land of Ethiopia. And she was from the second group of people who migrated from Mecca to Ethiopia, and there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed her with her first child, Habiba radiallahu anha. Later on, she would give birth to a son named Abdullah, and Habiba, the daughter of our mother Habiba, would later marry Urwa bin Mas'ud from the great tribe of Saqif, radiallahu anhum. After migrating to Ethiopia and giving birth to these children, our mother Habiba had a very strange experience. While in Ethiopia, she saw a very strange dream involving her husband Abdullah. In this dream, subhanAllah, his face was so disfigured that the sight of his face, it disgusted Habiba radiallahu anha. A short time after she had this dream, in real life, her husband, he began to drink. And eventually, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, he converted to Christianity. When he converted to Christianity, subhanAllah, what do you think Habiba did, sister? Do you think she just chilled and she, you know, let her husband continue in this evil way? No, she began to chastise her husband. And this is one of the important aspects of marriage. If we look at the rights of marriage in Islam, we see that the first right, which is shared between husband and wife, is the right that they both ensure that they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many times brothers feel that it's their job to correct their wives, which is true. But at the same time, also the wife, it is her job to ensure that her husband is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, the Fajr prayer. Sisters should make sure that their husbands are waking for the Fajr prayer and observing this important act of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Habiba radiallahu anha, following the teachings of the Prophet, مَنْ رَأَ مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَيُغَيْرُ بِيَدِي, whoever from amongst you sees an evil, let them change it with their hand, their tongue, or their heart. She began to chastise her husband Abdullah for being a drunkard and for being a Christian. Eventually, subhanAllah, Abdullah, he began to try to convert Habiba radiallahu anha to Christianity. She refused and he divorced her. Subhanallah, this is happening all over North America and all over Europe and all over in the lands where the Muslims are minorities, that sisters are becoming Muslim and their husbands prior to their Islam may be non-Muslims, and they have to go through a divorce and they have to go through this struggle. Subhanallah, what mechanism is in place to support these sisters? Subhanallah, it's almost completely invisible. Here we see, subhanAllah, Habiba radiallahu anha, she's divorced by her husband, she's left alone in Ethiopia, she has two children, she has nothing, but subhanAllah, the community of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a different type of community. In the sixth year after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Habiba received the grand news of the intentions of one person to marry her. And subhanAllah, this good news was given to her by one of the servants of Najashi. And Habiba radiallahu anha was so happy, subhanAllah, when she received this news that she gave some of her jewelry to this messenger. And this was the news of the intention of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to marry our mother Habiba radiallahu anha. SubhanAllah, a quick lesson we can take here is the importance of going through tests and being patient through tests. Because the more and more that we're tested, this is a sign, inshallah, that we're getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more fitna that we face on a daily basis, this is a sign, alhamdulillah, that we are getting closer to Allah. You know the word fitna? It comes from the word in Arabic which means to burn the ore, silver or golden ore. And all of the nasty waste comes off of this ore, and what's left is the shiny, pure substance. So this is the example of a mu'min. A believing man or a believing woman are going through life and being tested. And subhanAllah, these tests are removing, subhanAllah, these bad qualities that we have, the filth that we have, so that one day, inshallah, we come out like Habiba, shiny and pure. So subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made his intention to marry our mother Habiba. After all of these difficulties, alhamdulillah, the good came, and that was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Habiba radiallahu anha, she accepted the proposal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she selected Khalid bin Sa'id to be her wali. And Najashi, he read the sermon and he paid Khalid bin Sa'id 400 dinars as the dowry for our mother Habiba radiallahu anha. She was at that time around 36 or 37 years old. SubhanAllah, after she was married by Najashi and Khalid to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Najashi, he sent Habiba with a royal escort from Ethiopia to Medina. SubhanAllah, imagine all the difficulties that she went through, and now she's being escorted from the land of Habasha to Medina by a royal escort. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he married Habiba, the news of this marriage came to Abu Sufyan. And at that time, Abu Sufyan, he was the enemy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But subhanAllah, look at the response of Abu Sufyan. He said, which is the meaning, I can think of no one better to marry my daughter to than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. SubhanAllah, nowadays we see that Islam is constantly being attacked. But one of the differences between us and the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that the enemies of Islam now can attack our character and our morals. But subhanAllah, in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those years after him, nobody could attack the character of the Muslims. So subhanAllah, we have to refine our character. Habiba radiallahu anha, she arrived to Medina, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent a verse describing this marriage of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Habiba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 60th chapter, the 7th verse of Quran, he says,
عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَجْعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ عَادَيْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَاللَّهُ قَدِيرٌ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it may be that Allah will grant love and friendship between you and those whom you now hold as enemies. For Allah has power over all things, and Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, describing this word mawaddah, he said that mawaddah, which means or is translated as love, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place between you and your enemies mawaddah, love. Ibn Abbas, he says that mawaddah in this verse is Habiba radiallahu anha. La ilaha illallah, subhanallah. It's very beautiful. This mawaddah that was placed between the Prophet and Abu Sufyan and the Quraysh was our mother Habiba radiallahu anha. Habiba radiallahu anha, radiallahu anha, Habiba radiallahu anha, and Salama, they were describing some of the churches that they saw to Aisha radiallahu anha with the pictures and the statues inside these churches. When Aisha radiallahu anha informed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam of this, he said that these people who have done this are the worst of creation, that they've made these prophets and these saints as worship, as objects of worship, and that they've turned their churches and the graves of their righteous into places of worship. She used to ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam different questions, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would answer her, and he was very patient in answering her. SubhanAllah, Habiba radiallahu anha, she gave us a number of treasures from the mind of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of the most beautiful ones is the following hadith, where Habiba radiallahu anha, she says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever prays 12 raka'ah in the day and the night, bunya lahu bihinna baytan fil jannah, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build for this person a home in paradise. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's talking about the sunnah prayers, the two before fajr, the four before dhuhr, the two after dhuhr, the two after maghrib, and the two after isha. Whoever observes these on a daily basis, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build for that person a home in paradise. Look at the reaction of Habiba's sisters when she heard this beautiful, beautiful statement from her husband. She says, رضي الله عنها فما تركتهن منذ سمعتهن من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. She says, I never left guarding these 12 raka'ah after I heard them from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So subhanAllah, nowadays, our husband or your husband, he comes home and he advises you, or he says something that he heard in the masjid, or some hadith he heard from the imam, or something he heard on a tape or CD. SubhanAllah, do you have that same, you know, anxiousness to practice the good that Habiba radiallahu anha had? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يَأْتِ بِكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. Allah says, race for the good deeds. When she heard this from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from that moment on, she observed these 12 raka'ah. And it's interesting to note that Habiba radiallahu anha, she narrated this to her students. One of them was Anbasa, And Anbasa, he said after he would narrate this hadith, he would say to his student that I did not leave these 12 raka'ah after I heard them from Habiba radiallahu anha. And Amr ibn Ais, after he heard this hadith from Anbasa, he said that I did not leave these 12 raka'ah since I heard them from Anbas radiallahu anhu. And Nu'man ibn Salim, who heard this hadith from Amr ibn Ais, he said, I did not leave observing these 12 raka'ah since the time I heard them from Amr ibn Ais. Now what about you driving in your car and you listen to this CD and myself who's narrating this to you? Can we say after we've heard this hadith that we will not leave the sunnah from this day forward? Can you do that, brother or sister? And we can, subhanAllah, link this treasure back to our mother, Habiba radiallahu anha, and look at this tarbiyah of Habiba. This focus on practice, this focus on actualization of knowledge, the tarbiyah of Habiba that she received from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which she passed on to Anbasa, which she passed on to Amr, which she passed on to Nu'man, is now being passed on to you and me. Radiallahu anha wa rada. Another gem which we receive from our mother Habiba radiallahu anha on behalf of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the following hadith where the Prophet said, Kalam ibn Adam la lahu illa al-amra bil ma'ruf wa nahi 'anil munkar wa dhikr Allah 'azza wa jalla. She heard from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the following hadith, which Ibn Habbani says is sahih, that the Prophet said that the speech of the son of Adam is against him except the following: ordering to good, forbidding the evil, and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of the important aspects of tarbiyah that he gave to his wives was the reality of the hereafter. And one day the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sitting with Habiba radiallahu anha, and she said, O Allah, enable me to derive benefit from my husband, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and from my father Abu Sufyan, and from my brother Muawiyah radiallahu anhum, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to extend all of their lives so that she could continue to benefit from them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, you have asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about durations of life already set, and the length of days already allotted, and the sustenance, the share of which has been fixed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not do anything earlier before its due time, or He would not delay anything before its due time. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, وَلَوْ كُنْتِ سَأَلْتِ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُعِيذَكِ مِنْ عَذَابِ فِي النَّارِ أَوْ عَذَابِ فِي الْقَبْرِ كَانَ خَيْرًا وَأَفْضَلْ. He said to her, but if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you refuge from the torment of the hellfire and from the punishment of the grave, it would have been better for you. Subhanallah, this hadith related by Imam Muslim. Look at the tarbiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, brothers, when was the last time that we talked to our wives about the hereafter? When was the last time we talked about dying? When was the last time we talked about death, the grave, when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Here we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminding his wife that they are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that they are going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave our mother Habiba the glad tidings of paradise. Ibn Askir, he narrates the following, that once Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he entered the home of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he found his sister sitting next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he became shy and he wanted to leave. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called him back. He came back and he sat next to them. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned to them and he said, Wallahi inni arju an akuna ana wa anti, ana wa anta wa hadhihi fil jannah. Prophet ﷺ, he turned to Muawiyah and he said, I hope that we will all be in paradise, myself, you, and this woman sitting next to us. رضي الله عنها ورضى. Umm Habiba radiallahu anha, she used to answer the questions of the companions as well as answer questions of the students of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The number of narrations which she left us totals 65 on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the 6 books of the authentic Sunan, she has 29 ahadith, and Al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim agreed on 2 of the hadith of our mother Umm Habiba radiallahu anha. Her students included the following. Habiba, her daughter, was her greatest student. SubhanAllah, sisters, your daughter is your greatest student. Your daughter is the one that's taken from you everything you have. We see her Umm Habiba radiallahu anha. She has knowledge that she can give her daughter. Nowadays, unfortunately, we find many Muslims, they are like somebody with a glass which is empty, surrounded by people in the middle of a desert, starving for something to drink. SubhanAllah, the knowledge is the water. If you don't put the water in this glass, you can benefit no one. If you're not memorizing Quran as a young sister, memorizing the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, then you're not going to be able to pass on this legacy to your children. Here, Umm Habiba radiallahu anha, alhamdulillah, her best student was her daughter Habiba. Then her brother Muawiyah and Utbah, her sister's son, also Zainab bint Salama, and Urwa ibn Zubair, also from the women, Safiya bint Shayba and Zainab bint Abi Salma. These were some of the great narrators and students who related on behalf of our mother Umm Habiba radiallahu anha. Her fatwa and legal opinions, the virtues, subhanAllah, and blessings of observing the sunnah prayers, which we mentioned earlier, were given to us by our mother Umm Habiba radiallahu anha. The period of grief for someone who's lost a loved one, whether their spouse or a close relative. She gave fatwa on the issues of the Hajj and the permission for the weak and women to go to Muzdalifah or to Mina towards the end of the night before Fajr, before the crowds did so. SubhanAllah, this fatwa is not a fatwa that came from recent scholars. This is a fatwa that originated with our mother, Umm Habiba radiallahu anha. In the area of Tahara, she gave fatwa on the issues of wudu, praying in the clothes that one had a sexual relationship with one's spouse. What a husband can do as far as physical contact with his wife while she's menstruating, these issues were commented on and we were given fatwa from our mother Umm Habiba. Also fasting, she discussed the kissing and touching of a husband of his wife while fasting. She also made fatwa on the issues of dua and also the issues of the adhan. Her character, she was known as being a staunch Muslima and she made no concessions for anyone. Once, subhanAllah, her father, he came to visit her in Medina while he was still a disbeliever, and he wanted to sit on the bed of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umm Habiba radiallahu anha, she turned the bedding over and did not let him sit there. And he was like, SubhanAllah, do you love the bed more than you love your father? And she replied, this is the bedding of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and since you are a non-believer, you are therefore unclean and you should not sit here. She was known, subhanAllah, for sticking, as we mentioned earlier, firmly to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was known for fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. And subhanAllah, when she prayed, she would pray for the entire ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She used to pray for the salvation of her father and for her non-Muslim relatives. And on the day of Fath, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave protection to her father, she was so happy that she began to make dua for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Uthman bin Affan was being besieged by the rebels, she sent water to his home and the rebels turned it away. Then she sent the bags of water to the home of Uthman bin Affan, and subhanAllah, these rebels, they punctured holes in these bags with their spears. Our mother Umm Habiba radiallahu anha, she left the world at the age of 73, 44 years after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina during the reign of her brother Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. SubhanAllah, before she died, she called Aisha, our mother radiallahu anha, to her bedside. And she said to our mother, we had been co-wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If ever I have offended you, please forgive me and pray for my salvation. SubhanAllah, at the moment of death, Umm Habiba is worried about having offended others or harmed others. What about us? Every day we pass and we pass and we pass in, and we have problems with our brothers. We have problems with our sisters. SubhanAllah, look at the concern of Umm Habiba radiallahu anha. Aisha, our mother, she responded and said, you have pleased me May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you happy. And Habiba, she requested that Aisha radiallahu anha take the same message to Salama radiallahu anha. There's an interesting story about the grave of Habiba radiallahu anha, and this happened in the time of Zainul Abidin rahmatul alay, that he was having his ancestral home dug up in Medina, and while they were digging up this home, they found a stone. And this stone said, this grave belongs to Ramla bin Sakhar. SubhanAllah, Zainul Abidin, immediately he recognized what this was, and he had the stone put back, and he had the dirt put back. And many ulama said, as is obvious, that this was the grave of our mother, Habiba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with her. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward our mother, Habiba, bless her grave, to put light in her grave, and to allow us to meet her on the day of judgment. Fajazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with her. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward our mother, Habiba, bless her grave, to put light in her grave, and to allow us to meet her on the day of judgment. Fajazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.